What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Hey, everybody. Sorry.
Apologies. We're live. Sorry.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Mylynn Riobe, and welcome to Awakened Wellness. And today we are live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And go ahead and give us a call at area code 646-558-8656. Hit star 9 to raise your hand. And as always, I'm looking forward to questions, comments, and everything else that we enjoy here on the show. And so today's topic is kind of a hot button topic. It is justice in healthcare through self-empowerment. And what I wanted to talk about today was shattering the barriers imposed by socioeconomic disparities in communities of color. And there are many other marginalized communities that we can include in this. But today I just wanted to focus on people of color specifically. And I know that Rachel and I were just talking about gender preference and all of the other sexual preferences and all of the other things that, you know, kind of color the healthcare experience in our country. Today, I just want to focus on people of color because I guess because I'm a person of color, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, this has been just so highlighted recently. It's practically on fire right now. And so we will touch on those other topics and those other people. They are just as important, of course. But there's something specific about the Black community, the African-American community, and the Caribbean-American community that I wanted to talk about today. And you know, the socioeconomic disparities that we experience when we go into the healthcare system are fairly well known, certainly well known by those of us in those communities. And as a physician, you know, of color, if you will, I've experienced different things with colleagues, you know, especially earlier on in my training in the South, if you will. And so, you know, we've all been touched by this. And so what is going on? How do we shatter this, these socioeconomic disparities? Because looking for a system to change is not going to work, right? I don't believe that systems that are as entrenched as our healthcare system can be changed. I do believe, though, that new systems can be implemented and started from scratch with a foundation that is actually sound so that we can work from that premise. And so where do we begin? How do we have this conversation, right? So one of the things that people bring up is, well, we should have the same healthcare outcomes as other ethnicities. And while that's a good place to start, other ethnicities don't exactly enjoy better healthcare either in terms of the outcomes that they have. And so when we look at statistics that tell us that 65% of all Americans over the age of 65 have one or more chronic diseases, and when we look at the statistic that Generation Z across all ethnicities will have lower life expectancies than their own parents for the first time in American history. Having that as our goal is not a great goal, right? You know, we got to shatter that paradigm. This idea that we want to get just as good healthcare as those other groups, when those other groups are getting like a C minus, now granted, we're getting a D minus or maybe an F, right? When you look at the Black community and people of color and the health outcomes for those people, we have twice as much death from COVID. We have a much higher death rate from heart attacks. We have a much higher death rate from all cancers. Most cancers, we're 47% more likely to die from those cancers than other ethnicities. So when we look at those statistics, they look bad. But when we look at the statistic all across the United States, it doesn't look a whole lot better. And so the idea of wanting to go from really bad to mediocre doesn't sit well with me. I think we need to shatter this paradigm entirely and look at what exactly is happening. Yes, the encounter in the healthcare system is bad. There's no doubt about that. And it's not that physicians and other healthcare providers wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go treat people poorly today. It's something that they don't even know they're doing. It's something subconscious. It's something so entrenched in the healthcare system from the way that we're trained all the way through until we go into practice that it's not consciously with us. And so we have to first understand that, right? What I believe personally is the healthcare providers and the patients are both victims of a bad system. It's not, and unfortunately what happens is often we're pitted against each other, right? I hear some people sometimes don't even know I'm a doctor and they're just spouting off about their encounter, in the emergency room or wherever and how poorly they were treated, et cetera. And so they automatically pit themselves against the people trying to take care of them. And I often try and very gingerly say, every human being in that encounter is a victim of the system itself. It's the system itself that needs to, in my opinion, implode to allow a better system to take its place. And so when we look at that, and then we look at the stress that's caused by these encounters, right? And so when we look at the fact that African-Americans and people of color are twice as likely to die of COVID, almost twice as likely to die of heart attacks, almost twice as likely to die of cancers. Something other than socioeconomic factors is also at play. It's not just the healthcare encounter. It's not just that insurance is different. There's a little bit more going on, and that's what I want to focus on today. Yes, we need health insurance reform. And in my opinion, again, that system needs to implode and we need to have a better system come into play in order to really have an equitable health payment system. I don't even want to call it a health insurance system. I think it needs to be a health payment system. There's something else going on that I want to talk about today. So yes, there are socioeconomic disparities. Yes, the health insurance industry sucks and needs to be replaced. Yes, the access to that insurance is different depending on, the color of your skin. Medicaid and Medicare and those types of programs are not equitably in place and uniformly distributed for everyone to obtain in this country. There's still something else going on that I want to talk about today. There is a PhD over at the University of Michigan, Dr. Arlene Geronimus, who has coined the term weathering, the weathering of African Americans in the United States. And what she means by weathering is the physiological impacts of stress that African Americans endure due to the socioeconomic disparities. So she hasn't quite put her finger on it, I don't think, but she has really kind of cracked the surface of getting to the heart of what's actually going on with African Americans in the United States that is actually raising their risk of death and disease well beyond other ethnicities. And again, I want to be very, very careful. I am not suggesting that there are not socioeconomic disparities. There are tremendous socioeconomic disparities. There are tremendous insurance coverage inequities in the United States of America, but there's still something else going on that if we can start to work from that position, if we can start to empower people to understand there's in addition to all that garbage, there's something else going on that garbage is hiding from us that we can't see. That if we bring that out to the forefront, we'll be able to start empowering ourselves to be healthier. And so that's what I want to talk about. She coined this term weathering, and she has done a number of studies now on this idea of weathering. And what it is it's basically the physiological impact of the stress of living while Black in America. I mean, that's really the bottom line of her studies. And there's a certain psychological stress that comes with not quite knowing how that encounter is going to go, not quite knowing if you're going to get pulled over by the police today, not quite knowing if your kids are going to be okay wherever they go today. There's a psychological stress there that has very deep physiological impacts in the body that manifests as disease, that manifests as death even. And so that's what I want to talk about is this idea of weathering. I talk about stress a lot in my podcast, and I talk about how we can actually shift how we perceive stress. And although this seems like a far away, unreachable goal right now, if we begin to really actually see that the psychological stress that people of color endure in the healthcare system and in general in our country can be modified by us as individuals, like we can modify how we perceive that stress. Not that we're going to bury our heads in the sand, not that we're going to try and ignore it, but we are going to look at what are the fundamental physiological changes going on in my body as a result of this psychological stress. Because again, I always say, you know, mental health is not quite all mental. There are physiological changes, things that happen in our bodies that make us more susceptible to diseases. That's where we need to intervene. That's where we need to focus. And Dr. Geronimus, I'm sorry, is really pioneering the research behind this. Now, you know, she's still kind of trying to put her finger on, like, what is this weathering doing that links us to the diseases? Like, how does the weathering transition into disease? Like, how does that stress become the disease, and what are the factors associated with that? In my opinion, that has to do with the immune system and what we call the coagulation system. When we look at studies, so I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to look down at my notes because I can't keep all these journals straight. But according to the journal Blood Coagulation and Fibrinolysis, African Americans have more what we call hypercoagulability than other ethnic groups. Hypercoagulability is a fancy medical term that means bad circulation. And there are certain markers that we look for that tell us about coagulability, you know, how easy it is for our blood to clot. So a lot of the diseases that African Americans have are related to poor circulation. So heart disease, cancer, even COVID, you know, COVID kills because of the massive inflammatory response that it triggers. And, you know, African-Americans are twice as likely to die from COVID as any other ethnic group. Well, I shouldn't say any other, but their white counterparts, they're twice as likely to die, African-Americans from COVID. The reason for that is because the psychological stress causes this weathering. This weathering causes poor circulation. The reason stress is related to circulation and the reason stress is related to immunity is because the immune system and what we call the coagulation system. So the same system that defends you from infection is linked to the same system that clots your blood because they actually go hand in hand. So for example, if you get stuck by, if you're in the rose bushes and you get pricked by one of the thorns on a rose bush, you have to actually trigger both of those systems. You have to trigger the system that stops the bleeding, or you would bleed to death if you got stuck by a thorn. And you would die of an infection if you got stuck by a thorn, right? Because there's all kinds of stuff on rose bushes, right? So that those two systems are intertwined and those two systems function together. And so instantaneously, if you get stuck by a thorn or anything else that pierces your skin that's not sterile, those two systems immediately get triggered, like instantaneously get triggered. Otherwise, we would bleed to death and we would die of infection. And so you get stuck by a thorn and then immediately, you know, the blood flows instantly to that area. And that's because of your immune system. So your immune system detects a breach in the system, right? And then it sounds the alarm. And so then all of your white blood cells and platelets and all of the guardians that you have on call in your bloodstream rush to that area, right? And that's why we get, that's why that area becomes red and inflamed, right? So if we prick ourselves with a thorn, that area almost instantly gets inflamed and red. And that's because of the instantaneous sounding of the bell that rushes, you know, everyone rushes to that area. And so the coagulation system is the system that will immediately stop the bleeding, and the immune system will hunt down any viruses, any bacteria, any fungus, mold, anything that breached the system should be instantaneously stopped in their tracks so that we don't die of infection every time we get pricked by a rose bush, right? And so nature, again, knows this, and it has that in place. And so that is actually a stress response. It's a stress response that initiates the immune system and the coagulation system. And so because your body does not know the difference between different types of stress, it doesn't know if you're being chased by a predator per se. It doesn't know if you just got pricked by a thorn, of a rose bush, or it doesn't know if you're sitting in traffic. It doesn't know if you're having an unpleasant experience at the doctor's office, right? Your stress system, your fight or flight system doesn't know that. Now you know that. So there's a big difference between how your cells perceive things going on around them and how you as a human being, as a person perceives what's going on. So you as an organism have a brain. And so you can tell, oh, I just got, you know, pricked by a thorn. I was, you know, cutting roses or pruning my rose bush or whatever, and I got pricked by a thorn. And you know that. So you don't freak out about that, right? You can know if you're stuck in traffic. You can know if you're having an unpleasant experience at the doctor's office. You can know these things. You can know if you're being chased by a predator or not. But deep down in your body, your cells, the individual cells of your body don't know. They have no idea. And it takes a split second for your brain to figure out you're not in danger, right? So you get pricked by the thorn, and immediately, instantaneously, the immune system and the coagulation system get turned on before your brain even knows what's going on. Then you look at where it hurts, right? And then you're like, oh, there's a thorn in my hand. Let me take it out, right? And then by then, though, a split second or a second has gone by, right? So because that system, the immune system and the coagulation system got triggered, it took you a split second to calm it down. And so already all the responses took place. All of those stress reactions already happened. So in that split second between you getting pricked by the thorn and your brain figuring out, oh, it's not a big deal, there's a split second. But already all of the stress hormones have been instantly released. And so your brain doesn't quite catch that. And so you get this download of stress hormones into your body until your brain can stop it and turn it off, right? So there's always this split second, your brain is a little bit behind what's going on, right? And we talk about that a lot in terms of your brain is always in the past. It's never in the present. And so life happens and then your brain figures out what's going on later. And so that's that split second is where all the stress happens and all the physiological changes get started. So if it's a psychological stress that's going on all the time, your brain can't shut that off all the time, right? It's too much for your brain to figure out. And so these responses keep going on, but there's no thorn. There's no predator. It's psychological. It's unknown, but it's still going on. And so this is what causes this weathering that we're seeing in studies now. And this is begin to show change so that they can be empowered to not allow that to happen as much so that we can ward off diseases, prevent them for even if it's just for a little bit longer. And we have to focus on our younger generations who aren't already so sick. It's really hard to reverse engineer a disease, right? It's much easier to prevent one than to treat one if we know what to do. And this is a huge part of disease prevention that we haven't quite yet put all the pieces together for in our, particularly in our Western model. It's starting to come together in our integrative medical model. Eastern medicine kind of knows it in a different way, that they already kind of have it nailed down. So we have to begin to have this conversation and empower people to know, what do I do about this idea that my brain is always behind the times? And that's what's actually causing diseases in my body. So it's time for our first commercial break. I left my phone downstairs for the questions, so that's why I've been ignoring you, Rachel. If you notice, I haven't been looking at my phone. So I'm going to run down and get it during this commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about justice in healthcare through self-empowerment. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milin Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milin the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milin is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Rayobe, and today we're talking about justice in healthcare through self-empowerment, shattering the barriers imposed by socioeconomic disparity in communities of color. And so just wanted to talk about one more study here. So the idea that stress causes poor circulation is actually known. It's been studied. Just not a lot. And you almost have to go like out of the country to find these studies. They're not done a lot in the United States. But there is a study released in the journal Thrombosis Research in 2015 that showed that stress triggers coagulation reactions because the body can't tell the difference between real and perceived stress. And again, not that the psychological stress of the anticipation of the health encounter is not real. It's very real. It's simply that it's not actually happening in the moment. It's perceived because of previous experiences, right? So even though we're not actually in the doctor's office having that unpleasant experience yet, it's as though we are. And so that triggers poor circulation. It triggers those stress responses that lead to the immune system and the coagulation or clotting system to be activated. And so this is actually pretty well known. And the coagulation system and the immune system, they are triggered by genes, right? So ultimately, you know, the markers, the coagulation markers, the factors, all of those things are proteins, and they are then coded for by genes. But what's important to know is that this is not genetic. Again, this is epigenetic. So these are not genetically built-in differences between different ethnicities. These are environmental influences across different ethnicities. And so genes are triggered by the environment. How a gene behaves, whether it's turned on or not turned on, is triggered by environmental factors. And again, stress creates an environmental factor inside the body. So because stress triggers various chemicals and hormones to be released, that is altering the environment inside the body, inside of the cells of the body. And so that is what is triggering the stress responses and the clotting of the blood, the hyperimmunity, or the suppression of immunity. So when stress becomes chronic, so when you get pricked by a thorn, that's acute stress. That's instant stress. There's a difference between acute stress and chronic stress. So when your body begins to endure stress long term, you know, because it's a social factor or it's an economic factor, it's an unknown, it's an always not quite knowing how an interaction is going to happen, that's chronic stress. Your body behaves very differently under chronic stress as it does acute stress. So your immune system can't be on high alert forever, right? It's going to burn itself out. So when stress becomes chronic, your immune system goes from being hypervigilant to suppressed and not responsive. And so this is how chronic diseases can creep in, right? So people will say, well, yeah, if the immune system is triggered by stress, how do we get cancer if the immune system is supposed to kill cancer cells? The answer to that is because the stress has become chronic, you no longer have an immune system. Your immune system is constantly suppressed. Now, that doesn't mean it's not on. It's suppressed in an unbalanced way. So it's not behaving normally, even though it's suppressed. So now, if you need to defend yourself from a virus, say COVID or the flu, your immune system is suppressed by the stress that you've had for however long you've had before you got exposed to that virus. Now the virus just comes in and does whatever it wants to do. It's the same thing with cancer. So your system should be triggered to detect cancer cells because that's the same as a foreign invader to your body. But if it's chronically suppressed and not functioning properly, it won't detect that cancer cell, or it might detect it, but it can't do anything to it. The immune system might detect that there's plaque in your blood vessels, but it can't do anything about it. And so this is what creates the perfect storms that become diseases and that lead to early death. So we did have some questions come in now that I actually have my phone. Besides working on stress issues, any hints on getting better healthcare on Medicaid? I wish I had an answer to that. I strongly, strongly, strongly believe that your health is yours to keep. We don't have a preventive healthcare system, right? We just don't. And that, it's just not designed for that. Our healthcare system is designed to find diseases to treat. It's not designed to actually prevent them. So in order to have a better healthcare system, we need to have prevention implemented in that system. And so that has to happen at home. That has to happen with what you eat. That has to happen with exercising. That has to happen with getting better sleep. That has to happen with making sure that your body can rid itself of toxins. And these are all the ways to mitigate the impacts of stress that I always talk about on this podcast, something as simple as breathing properly, can help this weathering effect of stress. And again, this is not only in, ethnicities of color, everybody, stress is ubiquitous. It just so happens that people of color have genetic predispositions to having, more blood clotting than other ethnicities. And so people of color, in particular, African-Americans, have to be very vigilant about their health. And that starts at home, and to the best of, everyone's ability. Now we have a massive poverty problem and a, maldistribution of wealth in this country. And so some people, even when they want to take better care of themselves, the crap coming out of their water fountains, wants to do otherwise, right? And so, this is a much bigger problem than we can possibly begin to address today. But making sure drinking clean water, making sure you're getting enough sleep, eating as much organic food as possible. Maybe it's starting co-ops in the neighborhood, and using organic soil. Maybe it's these types of community, boots on the ground efforts to clean up neighborhood, shopping options, et cetera. Maybe it's even like looking at what do food stamps cover? Like maybe we need to have them cover more organic foods as well. These types of things need to be looked at, but healthcare is a self-empowerment thing. It's not so much I go to the doctor to stay healthy. It's I wake up in the morning and everything I do all day keeps me healthy. And it's again, this idea of being self-empowered and realizing that I'm worth taking the time to do this for. I'm worth my 9 hours of sleep. I'm worth looking at what I'm eating every day. I'm worth looking at what my kids are eating every day. Again, to the best of your ability, I understand you know, these socioeconomic disparities going on in this country, and that not everyone has the ability to do all of it. But everyone has the ability to watch how they're breathing. Everyone has the ability to do some form of deep breathing and meditation. So whatever it is that we can intervene with, everyone probably has the option of, you know, going for a walk, even if it's in an apartment. If you can't be outside in a park. So looking at all of what is every single modifiable factor that I can look at that I can change today to begin to make a difference? I can look at how I'm breathing. I can look at maybe how much sleep I'm getting. I can look at maybe better options for food. I can look at, you know, maybe getting a filter for my water. I can look at some things. I can look at getting more exercise. So these are all things we have to really start to empower ourselves to do on a daily basis to crack the code and to shatter that ceiling, if you will. Question, does the new telemedicine system help with racial discrimination? Probably not, because you still have to fill out a history form where they ask for ethnicity. Now, you could choose to not answer those questions, of course. There's a problem with your doctor not knowing your ethnicity, because I need to know as a physician whether ethnic group you belong to, because your risk factors for disease vary depending on that. You know, I may need to know your sexual preferences, because, you know, you may need different things than other people, right? So for me to ask, a gay couple if they need birth control, probably not, right? So knowing these types of things help the healthcare encounter as well. And so I always say, you know, everything is a double-edged sword, right? The kitchen knife can be something you use to cut vegetables and cook a delicious meal for your family with, or it could be something you stab somebody to death with, right? It's the same thing. So, you know, it's really up to each individual physician to honor their oath, right? To do no harm. It's for every individual physician before they walk into every patient encounter to remember, why am I here? You know, why did I actually, you know, well, what's the reason I'm supposed to have gone to medical school for, right? And we all get bogged down in life. We all have our stresses. We all have our bad days. It's self-empowerment. I have a choice as a physician, how I walk into every patient encounter. And so for you as a patient, you also have choices, right? You can choose to interview your physician, right? And if you don't feel comfortable, you pick another one until you find one that you're comfortable with. So I hope that answered that question. Let's see, there's a few more here. Statement, I've used online doctor visits, and the best part, I don't have to wait for appointments. That's right. Or find a ride. Yet some months, I just don't have enough money to even do this. So then I'm back to delayed office visit and long waits in the waiting room or emergency rooms. Yes, absolutely. You know, again, you know, we're not even scratching the surface today on this conversation. I just wanted to give people tools. Some things that they can begin to do, especially with their kids, right? So again, getting young people to breathe properly, just something that simple. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's so much research now on breathing and proper oxygenation and what we call heart rate variability. That is completely within our control. Like, no one can take that away from us, how we breathe. So teaching these things to our kids, teaching them to hydrate properly, right? Drink enough water, get enough sleep. These are things that we all have the power to do for the most part. I'm sorry that, you know, we can't solve these issues of not having the money to get to the doctor's office and all of these types of things. What I truly believe is we have to keep the healthy people healthy, with the kids, the teenagers, and even the younger millennials who haven't gotten sick yet. You know, Millennials are predicted to be the unhealthiest generation in American history, not because they're not trying, but because they don't understand the impact of stress and those physiological changes that occur in the body and what to do about them. And neither does our healthcare system, right? So, you know, I'm not convinced that going to the doctor is the best place to stay healthy. Now, you have to go to the doctor. I'm not suggesting you don't, because you need to go to the doctor to catch any diseases early. But the job of staying healthy happens at home. It happens here in your own mind. And that's the most powerful place to stay healthy, is really like making you the number one priority. And I know that sounds like pie in the sky, but the science is starting to back this up now. Meditation, deep breathing, hydration, all of these things are super important. Sleep. We rid ourselves of toxins. So all of the physiological impact of stress and all the toxins and garbage that build up all day, it's when we sleep that our body has the opportunity to remove all of that stuff from our bodies. So I think we are due for our next commercial break. So we'll tackle the rest of these on the flip side of this. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milene Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milene the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milene is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
All right, welcome back to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe, and today we are talking about justice in healthcare through self-empowerment. Let's see here, another statement. Question. I feel like I'm ignored when seeing doctors. How do I get them to hear me and take me seriously? You interview them. You find one that listens to you. And I know that's easier said than done. But shop around, you know, honestly, word of mouth, talk to your friends about who they may have seen that they felt comfortable with. Just like anything, right? I'm looking for a good handyman, right? I call a friend and I say, hey, who do you have that you've had a good experience with? Because I don't want to just call anybody, you know, to be in my house fixing stuff, right? And so healthcare is even more important. But word of mouth, you know, talk to friends, see who they have seen, see who they've had good experiences with, and find a way to go see that individual physician. You know, and that doesn't always guarantee that you'll have that same experience, but at least it's a good starting point. So let's see. Statement, thank you for the valuable information you share. God bless you. Ah, thank you. Thank you very much. And then I don't have insurance, lost my job, and can't afford to continue paying premium. So hearing shows like yours helped me learn to be healthier and not need a doctor. I'm sorry to hear that. Again, you know, this pandemic has caused a lot of pain, anxiety, tragedy, and hopefully we can rebuild, you know, and if nothing more, it's bringing to light everything that needs to go away so that newer systems can be put in place, right? And so I hope that you recover soon. And again, you know, these are tips. They're not going to fix everything. The sooner that we implement these types of things, the more effective they'll be in terms of with our youth. And, you know, people ask, well, how do you know that it's something other than what we always talk about? And that came out at the very beginning of the pandemic, at the very beginning, when we just heard of this virus and we had no treatment for it whatsoever. It didn't really matter if you went to the hospital or not. It didn't matter if you received healthcare or not. We literally had nothing to offer in our healthcare system for it because it was too early. It was too soon. We didn't know about it. And so it literally didn't matter. And so we were relying purely on our innate immune system to either keep us alive or not when COVID just started. And so even the people that went to the hospital, we learned very quickly that actually ventilating these people actually killed them faster, right? And so the healthcare system was kind of paralyzed for a while and it didn't matter. And at that time, African Americans had a 5 times higher risk of death from COVID than their white counterparts. And so the light bulb went off right there. Like it didn't matter if you got healthcare or not. African Americans still had a 5-time higher risk of death. And so that to me said that there's something more to the story. The story we hear about is true, but there's just something more to it. And it's this hypercoagulability. It's this stress. It's this weathering. And we know now, based on science, that cells have memory. And so the memory of racism, the memory even of slavery, passed down from generation to generation through the cells, actually changes the physiology of the cells. And we know this based on epigenetic information, right? We know that changes that occur in genes are generational. They don't just occur in the first generation offspring, they occur in generations to come. So we call that cellular memory. You know, so there is a way that this weathering is a passing on from generation to generation of stress, of, you know, the remnants of slavery, the ongoing socioeconomic disparities that we see. And so that has to do with the weathering as well. Now, of course, there's no study that says, yes, this is what's causing it. But if you look at all the individual studies and you play a little bit of dots to dots, the story starts to come together, right? So we know that there is such a thing as cellular memory. We understand the history of this country, regardless of if they want to talk about it or not. It's already known. Cat's out of the bag. And so, you know, we understand these things. We understand this idea of weathering now, thanks to Dr. Arlene Geronimus. You know, she's putting language to what we kind of knew, this idea of weathering. And it wears the cells out. It wears the physiology out. And it leaves people much more susceptible to diseases that they wouldn't otherwise be as susceptible to. And so this is what we need to begin to address. So we need to correct the physiological changes. And, you know, that system of medicine exists. It's integrative medicine. It's Eastern medicine. And I love Marianne Williamson to death. I've read every one of her books. And she made the statement, you know, we don't have a healthcare system in the United States of America. We have a sick care system. Right. And she's correct. Where I differ with her is she wants healthcare to be universal. And I'm like, we don't have a healthcare system to make universal. So first, we have to have an actual healthcare system. Then we can make it universal, right? And it has to have a preventive component. And so, you know, we have to really begin to investigate, how do we create a healthcare system that's an actual healthcare system? And it must have prevention. Now, again, what we call prevention in our regular model, you know, when we all schlep to the doctor's office with our insurance cards and we're told we're having a preventive exam, we're actually not having a preventive exam. We are having an early diagnosis exam. So we're you know, able to have cancer diagnosed early. We're able to have, you know, heart disease diagnosed early, diabetes diagnosed early. If we go every year and we have our blood work done, our physical done, that is not prevention, right? So again, in medical school, we learn about primary prevention and secondary prevention. Primary prevention is you never get the disease. Like, you don't ever get that sickness. Secondary disease is we miss the boat and that person is now sick, right? And now we're trying to prevent their death from that disease. That's what we call secondary prevention. And so we're not really being told that we're getting secondary prevention exams. It's just all lumped under the same category of prevention. So integrative medicine and Eastern medicine would be categorized as primary prevention. Our allopathic model would be categorized as secondary prevention. Now we have a healthcare system. Now you can put all the dots together. Right. And then the other super important thing is a payment system, right? How do we get people into the system? You know, and I don't believe it's going to involve the government or the insurance industry. I think, again, it's this is going to have to be a self-empowerment project, right? We pay for everything anyway, whether it's taxes or premiums or whatever the case may be. So there is a way to remodel and restructure that so that we're actually investing in our own health, because there's a fundamental conflict of interest when you give your money to an insurance company and you say, here's my money, here's $13,000. Again, whether it's coming out of your taxes or your paycheck before you get paid, or if your corporation is putting some of it in, it's still 13 grand a year, roughly, right? Here's $13,000. You can make all of my medical decisions, Mr. or Miss Insurance Company person. Please make all my healthcare decisions. And by the way, you can keep whatever you don't spend on me. That's what insurance actually is. And so there's an inherent conflict of interest there that we're going to need to solve. So, but anyway, that's just scratching the surface. I hope I gave you guys something to really kind of get started on. We've got to fix what we can fix, so that we can get strong enough to keep focusing on where we need to be, which is equity in healthcare and an actual healthcare system. So Thanks for listening to my rant today. And thank you so much, as always, for your awesome questions, comments. And you're listening to Awaken Wellness Now. I'm your host, Dr. Milen Ryobe. And until next time, many, many blessings.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.